with you on The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, in for Tenzina Vega. And this summer, it's lights up on Washington Heights.
That was abuela. She's not really my abuela, but she practically raised me. This corner is her escuela now. You probably thinking, I'm a creek. I've never been north of 96th Street. Well, you must take the A train. Even farther than Harlem.
That's right. The much-anticipated In the Heights movie is finally hitting the big screen.
I hope you're writing this down. I'm gonna test you later. I'm getting tested.
Adapted from Lin-Manuel Miranda's celebrated Broadway musical In the Heights, this is a love letter to New York City's Washington Heights neighborhood, chronicling the dreams and struggles, love and loss of different members of a tight-knit community. From Usnavi, a bodega owner, played by actor Anthony Ramos, to Abuela Claudia, the neighborhood's matriarch, played by Olga Meredes.
Yo, if I won the lotto tomorrow, well, I know I wouldn't bother going on no spending spree. I'll pick a business school and pay the entrance fee. Then maybe, if you're lucky, you'll stay friends with me. I'll be a businessman richer than Nina's daddy. Donald Trump and I on the links, and he's my caddy. My money's making money.
In the Heights is not only expected to be a blockbuster at the box office, it's also drawing a lot of praise for its all-Latino cast and what that means for Latino representation in Hollywood. For more on In the Heights, we're joined now by Sigal Ratner Arias, Spanish entertainment editor at the Associated Press. Sigal, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Melissa. Thank you for having me.
I know for folks in New York, they're going to know the Washington Heights neighborhood, but can you tell me a little bit about what the Washington Heights neighborhood is that's being celebrated in this incredible performance?
The Washington Heights, wow, you once you see the movie, you'll understand, but it's a neighborhood filled with Latinos coming from many places from Latin America that came to the United States and settled there to following their dreams. And this movie celebrates them.
And I think for me, that's part of what I love both about the neighborhood and about the film is that it goes into that complexity, that diversity of Latino identity and experience. Talk to me a little bit about who some of those key characters are.
Well, you yes. have Usnavi, which you mentioned, he's the main character. He's a bodega owner who dreams to go back to the Dominican Republic where he's from to fulfill his father's wishes that they came to New York temporarily to work and make some money to go back, and they never did. And now their parents are died already, and he's trying to get back and take back their little business that they own there. There are so many characters. There's the abuela, of course, that's the abuela
I was gonna say,
of everybody.
She's probably my most favorite character. Tell us a little bit about her.
She's amazing. She represents the nurturing person that even if she's not the grandmother, you know, blood related grandmother of anybody in the story, she's the grandmother of everyone. She takes care of everyone. Everyone adores her. And she's this beautiful figures. She has a beautiful scene in the movie that the producers initially didn't want because they were worried it was going to be sort of like the Feed the Birds from Mary Poppins, that everybody, it was going to be the scene that people take a few minutes to go to the bathroom or look at their phones. But it's actually one of the most beautiful and meaningful scenes.
Absolutely. Now, talk to me about the fact that this is an all-Latino cast. How rare is that for a big budget Hollywood film like this?
It's super rare. You don't see those. I've been covering the Oscars for over 15 years, and I cover the Latino part of the Oscars. There have been a few years where I don't have anything in particular or anything big to write about, and it's so sad. There are years that there's more, but especially coming from Latin America or Spain, but not Hollywood produced, and certainly not at this level. This is something huge for the Latino community. And also, this is something that represents us in a better light, in a beautiful light. We've seen many Latinos in Hollywood here and there, but, you know, very stereotyped characters. Mm-hmm. They're playing the gangsters, they're playing the drug dealers, they're playing the nannies. But this shows real people in all their colors, nationalities, different dreams, different aspirations in life, real people as we all are. We're here and it's amazing that finally this is happening. I'm so excited. Yesterday, I saw the movie at the Tribeca Film Festival on Pier 67, and it was, I could see the George Washington Bridge from there, which is featured in the film. And it was so beautiful and exciting. I cannot tell you, I was crying the whole time.
No, I can feel it. I can feel your enthusiasm and excitement about it. And I think that for me is part of what does make this premiere so important, so relevant. And I think I also have to say, for me, I love a good musical. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just a little bit goofy that way, but when you get a musical, there's something about that capacity to connect and also the way that it remains memorable for so long.
Definitely, definitely. I agree. And it's so beautifully done by John Chu, I have to say. It was a good mix of two minority worlds coming together, the full Latino cast with a Latino story and an Asian director that's known for Crazy Rich Asians, who did an amazing job with this adaptation, I have to say. I'm very, very happy and excited for everyone to see it.
So let's talk about Crazy Rich Asians for a moment, because it does feel like both Crazy Rich Asians and Black Panther were sort of foundation laying, at least in the sense that they showed Hollywood just how much audiences will flock to a cast that is not an all-white or predominantly white cast, and that shows people of color in these very, as you said, different and more sort of fully human ways. Do you see that as having laid the framework and groundwork?
Definitely. Definitely. It's part, a very important part of the puzzle here. They definitely paved the way, and many things had to happen. That, and also during the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, everything helped to set, to align all the stars for this finally to happen. One thing that is incredible, and I don't know if you wanted to talk about this later, but I have to mention it, is that, you know, Hispanics are the biggest minority in the United States with almost 60 million people. And they represent the biggest part of the box office. 29% tickets sold are sold to Hispanics. Yet on the screen, they only represent 4.5% or speaking or named characters, and a mere 3% of the lead characters. So there's an imbalance that it's so outrageous, and it's been for years. And when you see those characters, as I said before, they're very stereotypical. They don't really represent us. We don't feel represented by those characters, because it's not the Latinos telling their stories. It's white people writing with a little knowledge they may have, or with the stereotypes they may have in their mind, these characters. So it's really, they portray us in such a bad light many times, not always, but usually, that this is very, it's like the light at the end of the tunnel. I think this will change things.
Sigal Ratner Arias is the Spanish entertainment editor at the Associated Press. Sigal, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.